guys, welcome back to another episode of Seriously, a Podcast. So today we're here with the Seriously girls and a special guest, Sam. So just a quick reminder, we have an Instagram, TikTok, both at Seriously Official, and a YouTube, also Seriously Official, and we also have a Ko-fi, which you can kind of, I guess, use to, in a way, to support us, to, you know, donate however much you think is appropriate. That would be a great, great help. And now, because of the nature of this episode, we're going to be doing a bit of a trigger warning before we start. So, Sim, take it away.
Okay, so in this episode, we're going to be talking about sexual assault and abuse. So we just want to give you guys a little disclaimer and trigger warning that if you're uncomfortable with any of these topics, that you might want to sit this episode out. Okay, so we're joined with Sam. So, like, Sam, you want to, like, give a little introduction about yourself?
Sure. My name's Sam. I'm 23 years old this year. I'm currently still in NS. I'm going to OR in 8 months. And a little fun fact about me is I'm a victim, but I have a CNC king.
I don't know what that means, but okay. Okay, so, like, we'll just get started on the episode. So, like, do you just want to, like, share your story? Like, what happened to you, how it happened, and everything?
Okay, sure. So, I guess I'll start from the beginning. I was in a dance group, and I met this guy. He was actually introduced to the group by my leader, and he was a adult figure in the group because he was quite old at that time, older than all of us. We were students in the group, and he approached all of us like a adult figure, teacher figure to all of us. He worked as a teacher, so we went to him for like school help, any help if he needed help for school and stuff like that. He got closer to me because after dance training, we would go like hang around places nearby our training area, and he would join in also. After like weeks of hanging out with him, he started getting too comfortable with us. He started like lying down on us. Keep in mind that he's like older than us, so it's like...
Actually, like, how old were you when that happened?
I was 16.
Okay, secondary school.
He was 8 years older than me, so he was 24, and he did things that were what a girlfriend would do in a relationship to her boyfriend. So like stuff like snuggling, cuddling while we were hanging out. So it was a bit weird, and I don't think it was overwhelming for me. I just found it weird. It then escalated to me and him just hanging out, just the two of us. The rest would, like, I don't know what he told the other people, but they will always tell me they cannot make it, but I know that they just didn't want to, like, interrupt his plans to me, for me. The first encounter was when it was just the two of us at night, in a very dark place. He started touching me, and he kept repeating that, it's okay, I know... this is a bit overwhelming for you, but it's okay. This is normal. He told me it was normal, and I was young and I didn't know any better, so I just let it happen. Like, he kept saying it's okay, and he kept like forcing his hands on me. So in the end, I just gave in. Yeah, and things got worse over the years. Like, every time I tried to lose him, I tried to get rid of him, he would go all psycho. Like, he would hack into my phone. He would stalk me. When I was in poly, every time after I end class, I would hang around the library to like finish up my schoolwork. Then when I get home, after I alight from the bus and I walk towards my block, towards the lift lobby, I would see him like at the other side of my block, just standing there.
Like waiting for you to get
home? Like waiting for me to get home.
Jeez.
It happened for a good few months. Then I messaged him. I said, because I blocked him everywhere. Then I messaged him, why are you still stalking me? Can we meet and talk? I initiated the meetup and we met. We talked things out. I told him that I don't want anything to do with him anymore. He got a bit emotional. I think he wasn't sober at that night. On that night, he was intoxicated with something. When I mentioned that I wanted to end things, he got really manic and angry. like as if I murdered his mother, like that level of angry. He raised his hand and he slapped me, and I flew across the place. It was a small garden. I flew across the garden. I was in shock, like legit. I didn't know what to do. I was like just like I just grabbed my phone straight away and I dialed 999. I called the police and I just gave the address and I put down the phone. And he panicked even more. I started walking away and he chased after me. He pulled me. He begged for forgiveness. He just wanted me to call the police back and say that it was a false alarm. When the police was reaching, they called me, and at first, during the phone call with the police, they didn't believe me when I said that I have a stalker and he's here. He just physically assaulted me. The police didn't believe me, which was terrible. But when the police was arriving, he was on his knees and he was crying and begging. And I told the police, no, it's okay. It was a false alarm. Sorry for troubling you guys. So I gave him a second chance. After that night, I think he took advantage of that second chance. After that night, he MIA'd for a few months, but when he came back, it got even worse, because he made this agreement, which I didn't consent to. Like, he would meet me every month. Like, he must meet me every month. I didn't agree to the agreement, but somehow, some way, it happened. I met him every month just to like update about my life, because I blocked him everywhere, Instagram, everywhere. He didn't know anything about my life.
Then how did he manage to contact you?
Through connections. So there were like snakes amongst my group of friends. They would tell him stuff. Like, my life was based on running away from him for a good 6 years. When I found out the people that told him about everything, because he's not okay with me having a girlfriend, not okay with me having way too many friends, yeah, not okay with me working also. He would literally be outside my workplace waiting for me to end work to tell me to stop working. I don't know why. But when we meet every month, it will always end with me getting sexually assaulted. Like, this one was different because he would intoxicate me with alcohol. Like, he would buy me alcohol. At that point of time, I really loved drinking. So, like, he took advantage of that. He bought me alcohol. Then when I got really intoxicated, he took advantage of me. And a lot of things happened. Penetration. A lot of things happened. It was all in public somewhere. The last encounter with him was when things got really out of hand and I was really like depressed. I couldn't take it anymore. I was under my block. I wanted to go home after dance practice from school. He appeared and I just couldn't take it anymore. I shouted at him. I said, I don't want to see you here anymore. Then he said, okay, just one last time, spend time with me tonight. Then I said, no, I don't want anything to do with him anymore. But this encounter, there were like a lot of people like saw what happened. He literally dragged me from, let's say, Causeway Point to Republic Poly distance. He literally dragged me that distance. It's quite a huge distance.
It's quite far though.
Yeah, that's quite far. There were like a lot of passers-by and they did nothing. They just walked by. While I was being dragged, I was screaming for help. Like, legit screaming for help. And like, I was shaking frantically and like trying to get out of his grasp. All the passers-by just stop, look, and they walk away. That last encounter, after I got dragged to a car park, he literally raped me. This one was different because I was aware of everything. It hurt the most. Then after that, I MIA'd for him. I changed everything. Like, I found out that he could hack my phone through my email. So I changed my email. I changed my phone number. I lived with my aunt for a while, so that, and he didn't know the address of my aunt. I managed to get rid of him for a good almost a year. Then last 2 years, he came back to my life and he said that I'm different now. Can we meet? We met and I kept giving him so many chances. I don't know why, but I met him again and I got sexually assaulted again. And this time I was disappointed in myself. I got really, I didn't know what to do. I was really lost. So I tried to attempt suicide. And I almost succeeded. I got hospitalized and my parents finally found out about everything. Because it was really bad, like, I almost...
Yeah.
The hospital managed to... I swallowed, like, around 60 pills. They managed to get almost all of it out of me. Then police came over, questioned me. Then my parents came over. My parents met my ex-friend. Asked him about everything, what about me, and he told my parents. Parents found out about everything. The next day, we went to the police station to report about this. And the case is still ongoing.
Okay. I just wanted to ask, like, earlier you said that you went and moved in with your aunt. Did your parents just kind of, like, assume that you wanted to live with your aunt for a while?
I live with my relatives every now and then.
Okay.
So, like, did they ever know that all of this was happening to you, like your friends and family, while it was happening, or like did they only know like after it ended?
Some of my friends knew from the start, most of the people in my life, they didn't know until after it ended.
So like what was what was the reason that you decided to turn to the police, and then also maybe could you like walk us through the process of like how that was like?
Since my parents found out, I decided that I think it's safer now that they know, and it's safe now that there's adults helping me report against the police. Because before my parents found out, I didn't want to report to the police because it would only be me against him. So when my parents found out, I felt safer, and the report was done by my parents. They brought me over to the police station. We did a report and straight away went to questioning. The investigation officer was a male. He didn't believe me at all. He thought I was crazy. Like, when I told him the story about me being dragged and me getting sexually assaulted multiple times in the duration of 6 years, he didn't believe me at all. Then he asked me, why do you keep going back to him? I explained to him, I said that he was an adult figure in my life. He literally didn't believe me. Then a different IO came. Because in this police case, it was me and my friend against the rapist. So it was two different IOs and two different cases, but it's under the same thing. It was for sexual assault and the same rapist. The female IO came into my room after she was done questioning my friend. Then she saw that her colleague was having trouble believing the story. She believes the story. So she took over and she helped file some documents. And me and my friend, we were sent to... It's like the Singapore FBI, Singapore... Or CID. Crime Investigation.
Okay. I didn't even know that was a thing.
We were sent to CID. And the IO was a female officer. So... Because I told them that I'll be more comfortable sharing this with a female. While waiting for my female officer to get ready her stuff, I was in a room with the supervisor or some high-ranking officer. He told me straight up, I know this is bullshit. I know you're just making things up. Where got a guy in Singapore get raped one?
Fuck.
It was two high-ranking officers against me in that room. I just kept quiet the entire time. They just kept like repeating and rephrasing the sentence, like their idea of, I don't ever think guys can get raped. They just kept re-emphasizing that idea of them, of theirs, to me. Then when I finally, my when my IO was finally ready, and I got in the room with her to like, for her, to give her my statement, she told me that, don't be affected by her supervisor. He's like that. He just wants to test you whether it's true or not. But I don't think, I felt it was like a bit personal, like, when he said those things. So after I gave my statement, they asked for like, evidence. My old phone had all the conversations with him and all the screenshots of him trying to hack into my phone and screen recordings of him hacking into my phone. So my old phone had a lot of evidence. My IO told me that this would take around 1 year, but it's going to be 2 years really. I don't know what's taking so long. But my IO changed from a female officer to a male officer also, and he has yet to contact me ever since it changed earlier this year.
I think that something that you mentioned earlier about how like there's this stigma that it only happens to females. Like apparently like it's not the first time I've heard also that sometimes people have trouble believing that it happens to males also. Which is why like I think like you sharing your story is very
important
and like why we wanted to do this episode. Because like yeah, like we just wanted to like kind of break that stigma also, that just because someone is a male doesn't mean that they are free from like unconsensual sexual activities. Like it just doesn't work that way. There's like no gender bias for someone to do something that you didn't consent to. And like whoever is listening to this episode, like I hope you understand and like are more sensitive to the fact that it can happen to anybody. So like before you decide to bully someone or like deny their experience, like actually try to hear them out and like understand that what they're going through is really very difficult to even like go through, let alone share with someone else. So like try to be more empathetic and understanding of the situation, like especially what Sam went through. And like it's still an ongoing police investigation, and like going through all of that is not easy lah. So like I guess something that I wanted to ask also, right, is because I read somewhere that in Singapore that and we also talked to someone previously who had to go through mandatory counselling with AWARE. So, like, did you have to go through counselling as well?
I did.
So, like, for you personally, right, because I understand that you're still healing from this, but, like, maybe what are some things that have been helping you to deal with this?
One of the things that helped me was removing myself from the surface of the world for a few months to, like, focus on myself first. So I just like disappeared from everyone and I focused on myself. I tried to like fix all the habits that I had with my rapists. Like I had to get rid of all of them, like all the bad habits, all the way of living when he was in my life. I had to get rid of that through my own power. So I moved myself from the world for a good few months. And after that, I finally started focusing on making new friends that don't know about the situation, because it'll be better.
Yeah. Okay. That's fair. So like, I guess, how have you been, like, besides all of that, how have you been like coping with what happened?
Honestly, right now, mm-hmm. I'm pretty good, but a few months back, I was still very emotional because I was scared that I would lose this case. Like, I was scared that no one would believe me. But now I think it actually really doesn't matter anymore, because at least he's not part of my life anymore, and that's great.
That's good.
Actually, like, what made you want to share your story? Because actually we found your story through social media. So like, why do you want to share it?
There were rumors going around in my dance community saying that I was the one asking for it. I was the one begging to be a sexual slave. So I couldn't take it and I just had to address it on social media.
Like when all that was happening to you, right, like it took a toll on your mental health, right? So like, do you have any advice for like maybe someone who might have gone through the same thing, like on how to like work on that mental health? Because it is definitely something that's very difficult to go through.
My advice would be, if there is someone in your life that you can trust and is willing to help stay by your side throughout this entire process. You should share your feelings with this figure, this person. But if you don't actually have a friend like I mentioned, I guess you can try to talk to your parents, your family, because it actually helps. My mistake was not sharing this with my parents. If I had shared earlier when it first happened, things wouldn't have been this bad. So if you're a victim and it's still unknown to people, just share it with someone you can trust. If not a friend, your family.
I guess something that us as a Seriously Girls wanted to like kind of briefly address also is like the issue of victim blaming. Like we're just gonna like briefly talk about it, because like if you are listening to this episode and we just want to say that first of all, we don't condone bullying, so whoever is going to like post anything that's hurtful or harmful, you'll be blocked. And second of all, whether or not you choose to believe in this story and however you choose to feel about it, be respectful, because like as much as it might be easy to blame someone and say that they are the one who asked for it or they didn't stop it, it's a lot more complicated than that. And victim blaming is something that we ourselves can't even begin to explain, because like it's something that just happens very often. So like just be mindful that
don't do it,
like just be very mindful about how it can hurt the party involved. And we also wanted to talk about sex education a bit, about how like if you are not aware that like sexual acts need to have consent, whether it be
all
kissing, yeah, hand holding, everything, hugging, like you need to give consent verbally. And just because you give consent once doesn't mean that it applies for every situation. Like if you feel like having sex one day and you don't feel like having sex another day, and someone still wants to have sex with you and you say yes before, that's still not consent. Consent has to be given all the time. It needs to be given freely. It should not be coerced. It should not be intoxicated or like forced into anything. So like if you have any questions about consent and like how it works, or if you want to understand that better, you can just drop us a DM on our Instagram at seriouslyofficial, and we'll like try to guide you through it, because we understand that like the sex education in Singapore is pretty bad and like it's not really very talked about as much as it should be. Do you have anything else you want to add?
If you're a victim and you're a guy, don't be shy. It happens to us. So just reach out to someone, really.
Okay, so if you guys are victims of sexual assault as well, then these are some of the organizations that you can turn to. First of all, there's the Sexual Assault Prevention and Response, SAPR, that you can turn to. They have a hotline that you can find on their website, which will be linked in this episode also. And then second of all, you can turn to AWARE. They have a sexual assault care center as well, and a hotline, which will be in the bio again, so you can turn to that. And then so with this episode, we hope that you guys took away something, and we know that like it's not easy to deal with whatever you're going through, but there are people out there and resources that can help you, or you can turn to your family and friends. And like we would just like to thank Sam for sharing his story with us, and we hope that his journey helped you, and we'll see you guys on the next episode. Bye.